That if you see your neighbor's animal fall into a ditch, you must bring it out, otherwise you'll be guilty. God had to tell them, you know, things that you will have taken for granted, but that's because you have the Spirit of Christ. I was listening to the Rabbi Zacharias again. There's one quote I've quoted from him before. I heard it a few days ago. So one man was describing the difference between a Polish capitalist and an American capitalist. That an American capitalist will pray like this. Assume his neighbor has 100 goats, as an example, and he has 10. He said, God, please give me 90 goats so that at least I'll be equal with my neighbor. He said, but the Polish capitalist will pray like this. God, kill 90 of his so that we'll be equal. And describe two men who were pastors, in quotes now, rivals, all right? They were both in London. And one packed his load one day and said, this place is too small for all of us. And he went to Chicago to go and start a church. A few weeks or months later, who arrived? His rival at home, starting a church in the same city. So this one went to pray. He said, God, let's find a solution for this problem. You know what they are going to do? Please, I'm asking you, fill his church to the brim. Fill it with people. Fill it so that they will have nowhere to sit. Then the other people can come to my church. Say, God, that's a nice way to solve this problem. That's the Spirit of Christ. His own is like, God, say, now congregation will define, nothing spoiled. In this city, there are many people. So that I can get my own, quickly fill his own first. Then we can now start collecting my own. That was the way the man went to pray. God, bless my rival. So if you're in the market, the same thing. This might get plenty of customers. God, let them be so plenty that all of them, people will get tired of entering. Some will come over to my side. Do you get my point? We don't need a law for that. In fact, you will see later on, he said there are certain things you can't legislate. The other day I was watching this man being interviewed on CNBC. Alan Greenspan, former... Well, they call him Federal Reserve Chairman, but like a CBN governor, right, of America. He said something. He said, how do you legislate against greed? They were talking about, you know, legislation and all of that, controlling the banks. The man said it was not going to work. So the person interviewing him talked about, he said, there's a lot of greed in this whole thing. He said, okay, fine. How do you legislate against greed? Thou shalt not be greedy. It's not possible. That's why the law of Moses is so inferior to the order of God. Listen, it's so far inferior. Only a man that really doesn't know Christ wants to obey, please God through them. One day they asked Jesus, he said, can we divorce our wife? Jesus said, wait now. We'll not agree. He said, but Moses said, all you need to do is prepare a nice certificate. Once you can write it nicely, take it to a JP, a notary public, to notarize it. Say an affidavit that you wrote it. Quite long story short, just give documentation. Then you can let her go. The only thing that you can't collect her back later, because it happens, you just say, why did I let this woman go? You go and collect her back from her new husband. He said, that one is not allowed. So Jesus said, listen, in the beginning, it was not so. That is, what Moses commanded you is not what God desires. He said, but Moses commanded, he said, it's because of the hardness of your heart. If he told you the truth, after all, Jesus told disciples the truth, what was the conclusion? It's better not to marry. Just because Jesus said you can't divorce your wives, they said, Peter said, me, I'm already in. John, I'm just warning you. Don't just bother. I'm telling you, these women, they are very wicked. The safety valve we had, this Baba, don't take and come out now. John, just don't bother. John was a small boy there. They said it is better not to marry. What am I saying? The commandment that Moses gave them was inferior to what God wanted them to have. Do you know that? Far inferior. Because there are certain things you cannot legislate. Thou shalt help your neighbor. God tried his best. But then there are many things. Say, it is his cow. Fine. If his grain is mature and he's sick, I won't harvest it for him. Is there any law that says I must harvest it for him? There's no law. But these are things that people who have the spirit of love in them will know how to handle. Are you getting my point? until his friend comes back from his sick bed. Now, please, I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. So I'm just emphasizing that issue when he said that you were called to freedom, but don't turn into opportunity for the flesh. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I said, if you bite, in verse 15, and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. Let me just read that one from the Amplified, verse 15. He said, but if you bite and devour one another in partisan strife, be careful that you and your whole fellowship are not consumed by one another. What he's saying here, in effect, is that if you operate the opposite of love, eventually everybody will suffer. Even Confucius, the great Chinese philosopher, he said that the quickest way to move forward is to help somebody else go forward. And I had a practical example of that recently. A friend of mine and I were just discussing. I can't give you details now. I said, if this guy had, well, this will be sliced off from, let me not bother giving you the details. But just if this guy had come and tried to carry everybody along, I said, by now, all of us will have gone far. But because you want to keep one person down, you understand? And you go ahead alone. At the end of the day, you'll be amazed that each person has something to contribute. Do you get what I'm saying? And the race you will have run, maybe in 5 years, it will take you 20 years to run it because you wanted to run it all alone. That's just what we're saying here. If you operate the opposite of this law, you guys are going to destroy yourselves. That's what he said. And let me tell you something. You know, we're talking about spiritual, economic empowerment and development strategies. I tell you that what we are trying to do is to get God's thought, God's pattern. It is alien to the human mind that you can help your opposition succeed. I'm commenting on verse 15. If you bite and devour one another, the result is that you consume everything and you destroy everything. Is that all right? Now, this is where my main message, which I really like to preach, is from, verse 16. Now, having said all of these things, instead of devouring one another, I say, walk in the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now remember, I said that earlier. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. That is, this is not an exhaustive list. There are many more things like this that are not here, which includes reckless driving. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Because there is a spirit which includes careless dressing. Because there are things like this, which includes lying to get a visa. Things like this, which includes chopping all your money alone and not helping your neighbor. Things like this. You get what I'm going to explain. He said, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit. Let me stop there for a while. Let me go back and explain some things. Now, he said there are the deeds of the flesh which war against the deed of the Spirit. Let me tell you what the deeds of the flesh are. They are the natural things that come to a child when he has not been trained. For example, one of the first things you will train your child, you will discover in, is how to give. Have you noticed that? Well, those of us who have that experience. First, my own. Like my son would say, my own. That was the first thing that grab. After a while, you start instructing. This is your brother. Share. Give. Do you understand my point? That's walking by the Spirit and not walking by impulse. Let me tell you what it means to walk by the Spirit. This is the difference. flesh is natural, it's impulsive, that is intuitive, it's something that is inside you. You don't have to try. You're just born with it. Now, when you say walk by the Spirit, Spirit is something that is poured inside you. What was the first thing that God made in Adam? He made his flesh. Do you understand my point? And that flesh was not dead. It was alive when God made it. God made him and the heart was beating. When God finished making him, his heart was beating. His lungs were working. I believe perfectly he was breathing. And he was just lying down there. Just another one of the animals that God made, in quote. Like I told you before, within 97% synchrony between his genes and that of a baboon. What was the difference? Then God breathed into him the breath of life. They now became a living soul. Now, that was not when his flesh became warm. Oh God, I hope you understand my point. That was when he received the attributes of being a human being as opposed to being an animal. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the difference. So what God breathed into him was what gave him a new life. What I'm bringing out here is this. There's something that is natural to you. But the one that is imposed by the recreation in Christ Jesus, coupled with the instruction of the word, is what the Bible calls the Spirit. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That is, it becomes a new motivation. Before that, you moved by impulse and what was natural. Now you move by a force acting upon your natural impulses to act differently. So he said, walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now don't try to stop the flesh, forget the flesh. You just walk by the Spirit. Obey the truth. Certain things come out because, let me tell you, as I meditate, I get to understand some more myself. Listen, the Spirit of Christ inside the Christian is actually alive and well and talking and moving him. If you will settle down sometime and tell yourself the truth, I said, look, one of the greatest attributes, one of the greatest qualities Christians need is the ability to tell themselves the truth. That is, why did you do what you did? Just tell yourself the truth. Why didn't you call your friend before you went for that interview? I forgot, I didn't have credit. Hey, all those things in my life. Tell yourself the truth. The truth is that the last two interviews he went for, he didn't call you. And it's payback time. Now, you see, because you know it's wrong, one thing you can't do is tell yourself. You know it's wrong. So he started explaining. It was raining, I couldn't pass by his house. I told his sister to tell him, you tell all kinds of stories. The real truth, if you just, because that's one beautiful thing that should tell you about God. It's a beautiful thing you must know. If you will tell yourself the truth and confess it to God, you are instantly forgiven. Instantly. One of our problems is that we are afraid of the consequences, so you want to deny that that's what you did. What do I mean by not telling ourselves the truth? Saul. Why did he not obey the voice of the Lord thy God? What do you mean? I did everything now. What about the man I'm hearing from the back? That one is not me now. Did you ask me why the man did not obey? You say, why did I not obey? The man, it wasn't me. This was a king talking. The other day, my land and I were negotiating. He said, I have talked to the agent. The agent did not agree. I said, chief, you must be an idiot. For you to be telling me that kind of thing, I didn't tell him like that. That was in my heart. How can you tell me that you, the landlord, set a price for your house and the agent did not agree? I told my wife, I'm leaving this house. Let's just go. When the man starts talking like a mogul like this, something else is behind. Let me go somewhere else. How can you tell me that a king, the man. When you behave two of them, the rest go kill cow, quick, destroy everything. What are you telling me, the man? Instead of him to just acknowledge, or got somewhere, I'm sorry. The truth was that when I saw those things, they look so good. Why should we just waste them? Okay, I'm very sorry. I'm very, very sorry. It was the covetousness of my heart. Please forgive me. Let's just quickly kill them now. Eh? You know, if he had done that, God would have forgiven him there. He said, no, it's not me. It's them. It's them. After all, they brought it to sacrifice to your God. Go and talk to him. He would like some sacrifice. I said, Imazi, what's wrong with you? Has God as much delight in obedience as he does in sacrifice as he does in obedience? See, this is like the sin of witchcraft, because Saul had driven all the witches away from the land. That you are doing exactly what the people you drove away from the land did. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. That when we don't tell ourselves the truth, that's when God can't help us. Eventually every wrong thing you do, you know the reason why you did it. Don't explain away. Just tell the truth. That's the power of Christianity. Then and then God will help you concerning the next situation, because these situations, they come up. Now, I'm explaining something here. That's what we call walking by the Spirit. Walking by what we know to be right, not what our impulses dictate. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? He said, look, I don't want to analyze all the evil works of the spirit of the flesh, but you see that those things are natural. He said, for example, immorality is based on impulse and what the flesh desires. Solomon said it, I gathered for myself the pleasures of all men, many concubines. That it is natural. That it is not something that you have to invent. It's natural. Are you getting the point? That when we follow, there are two things I discovered. Well, if I can, number one thing I discovered. Earlier I said that love makes it easy to obey God everywhere. Selfishness is the core, believe me, is the center of sin. The father of all sins is what? Selfishness. I know what I'm saying. I believe it totally. The father of all sins is what? Selfishness. If you would just consider somebody else before you do some things, you will discover that you won't do them. The father of all sins is what? Selfishness. The thief that says that the reason why I'm stealing, I hear that rubbish all the time. I hear why young men steal is because of poverty. Are they not stealing from people? The young brother that's talking nonsense. Those who will lay on the road, are they rich? They enter the commercial bus. Are they rich? They take a luxury bus. They are going to Lagos. You shoot up the bus and collect their money. Are those rich people? No. You think you are the only one that's important. A girl goes to follow a sugar daddy. She's being selfish. I need money. The man has a wife. Just think about his wife for a moment. Forget about your own hunger. That is, this is not about, is it right or wrong? No. Just think. You are at home. You are a woman. Will you like this? So someone will be doing this with your husband. Just think about it for a moment. Even the sugar daddy himself. If he just thought about other people for a moment. This girl is somebody's daughter. This girl is a confused little girl. After all, she's just a 19. She doesn't have sense. You are taking advantage. Think about the girl for a moment. Think about her future. You will change your mind. Selfishness is the center of sin. I have thought about it. It's the center of sin. I want to please myself. What did Satan say to Eve? You will become wise. And you will be like God. That's all. Just what you will do for yourself. And when he wanted to tempt Jesus Christ, what did he try? The same thing. After all, you are hungry. Man, body no be firewood. You are hungry. Use this anointing to chop food for yourself. That's what I said about preaching. If you're a preacher, and you go and use all kinds of sweet talk to collect money from people, you're a wicked soul. Like I always say, oh, I love Pastor Banky, I love Kingdom World Ministries. and you have parents or you have children, if you take the money that God says you give to your father and you bring it here, listen, I will, in my prayer, I have rejected you. Because God is a slap person. I said, God slap him by himself. You understand? He said, Pastor, people won't give you money. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you the truth. Eh? Let me tell you the truth. But my wife and I were saying it today. That which is mine. Oh, you heard me say it on Saturday also. Everything has a name. Do you get my point? My blessing has a name. Kingdom was blessing has a name. Has a name. Has is written on it. It can't go elsewhere. That's why I don't want somebody else's own. And the one that has my name is enough. Do you get my point? It is enough. It is enough. And God will ensure that I get it. I'm not competing. Listen, God has provided enough resources to do every good work on the earth. I mean, who believes in Kingdom World Ministries more than anybody else? Think about it for a moment. It is me. Nobody. Look, listen. I believe in Kingdom World Ministries more than anybody else. Maybe apart from my wife. Do I pour my money into Kingdom World Ministries? Of course not. No, I don't. No, really, I don't. I have a certain amount of money I give towards to Kingdom World Ministries. You know why? The other places. Are you getting my point? So that when the money comes, everybody gets his portion. Everybody gets his portion. There are ministries in there are other ministries that will write money. Take, this is for ministry, this one is for charity. I have parents. My mother is alive and well. I have parents in law. And everybody must be honored. There are men of God that my wife knows I'm talking about. I've made it a duty. Because there are people who saved God in a manner that I'm not sure I have that amount of energy. I'm praying for grace to do that. All I do every day is come here. I live down the road, drive here. These men will drive, that, get my point. On Monday, they are in Enugu, as an example. Wednesday, they are in Newe. See, I mean, by Thursday, they are in Asaba. Friday, they are in Abakiliki. They come back home to Enugu. And they do that every week. Can I even compare myself in dedication to such people? And like Paul will say, such men went out receiving nothing, or at least demanding nothing from anybody. The person I'm talking about worked in Nigerian civil service until retired and did not break this pattern I'm telling you about. Praying everywhere, preaching everywhere. Ah! I said, man, if you chop your money alone, goita, and I ain't gonna kill you. You could just choke one day. When you see men like that, you don't honor them. I said no. Selfishness, thinking only about myself, is the root of sin. I am hungry, eh? Who told you the other person is not hungry? It's because you think your hunger is more important. Alright? You think your hunger is more important than his own. That's why you think that it's just that's the one that should be satisfied. Sometimes, you know, when I want to spend money, maybe God gives me money, I want to do something, but you know, I will sit down and think, God, Nalayo, this is not allowed. How can only me chop this? Then my wife needs to remind me that it's not every day. I say, okay, it's true, it's not every day. Do you get my point? That is, if you're not selfish, you'll be amazed at how well you can obey God. The center of sin, the father of sin, the origin of it is that thing, selfishness. And that's what Paul was saying here. Everything you find out there, impurity, immorality, idolatry. I know what they call idolatry. Idolatry means anything I make an object in life apart from the true God. I put my life in the service of such a thing. So I put them, of course, a lot of people themselves, they are the idols that they serve. But what I want to just bring out from here, he said, and things like these, that is not an exhaustive list. But let's just go on. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Let me explain the way I understand it when it says against such things. All right? There are two things. There are different ways to look at it. Most times you look at it as if the law didn't say we shouldn't do these things. That is true. That's true. But I also read it in a particular way. All right? There's another way I read it. For me, it sounds as if he's saying that there's no law to command these things. I don't know whether you get my point. There's no law concerning faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Go and read the law. All those things. How do you use a law to tell a man to be nice? You can obey the law, but it doesn't have to come out of his spirit. Are you getting my point? There are two ways you look at it. One is against such things, there is no law. That is against doing wrong concerning these things. There's no law. But most importantly, is that look, the law, we are not in conflict with any, when we are obeying these things, we are not breaking any law. If anything, you find that the law cannot even reach the standard that the fruit of the Spirit produces. But I'll discuss that thing next time. When it says the fruit of the Spirit, when it says it's a fruit, is what? A fruit. There is a seed you sow that brings out these things naturally out of you. That's what I discussed in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. It says what? A fruit. And anytime you see fruit in the Bible, it means there is a seed that is sown. Do you get what I'm saying? And I discovered that the control you have, all right, is in the sowing of that seed. Even though concerning the law, you see God gave them seeds to sow. Some simple things. For example, every Saturday, take a rest. 3 times in a year, go for a festival. These are things that are very, very easy to do. They were seeds that made obedience to the whole law easy for them. And for us Christians also, there is what? A seed. There are seeds that we sow. And then all these good works will come out of our souls naturally. Let me stop there. Have you learned anything today? If that's the case, shout a very loud amen.